Welcome to the Talent of FinTech podcast series. We are here today to celebrate the wins, raise awareness of the challenges, and walk the talk for inclusive change across the entire financial technology industry. Talent creation is more than just a first day, a first week, or year, and we want to showcase the work that goes into building a great talent experience. So today we welcome Wendy Papworth, Global Head of Diversity and Inclusion at FNZ Group. FNZ is the global platform opening up wealth. They partner with the entire industry to make wealth management accessible to more people. And Wendy is here today to share what she is doing to walk the talk for inclusion one step at a time. It's great to have you on the podcast. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Nadia. It's really lovely to be here.
So before we go into everything about you and what you've been doing, tell us a bit more about FNZ itself.
Well, as you said, FNZ is a global end-to-end wealth management platform. It was founded in New Zealand by our current CEO, Adrian Durham, about 20 years ago now. And our mission is to open up wealth, helping all to invest. And that is quite aligns to my personal values, because it's all about thinking about wealth, not for the high net worth, but for everyone. Everyone has that little pocket of savings somewhere. So it's making our products accessible and personalized to individuals. And it's just not a technology platform. We do all of the back office investment and business operations as well. So it's truly unique in that respect. And maybe if I just share some numbers with you, we have almost 6,000 employees. We support customers and clients in 21 countries, 650 global institutional customers who may be banks, asset managers, trust companies, and more than 10,000 independent investment advisors. So it's not a small organisation, that's for sure.
Wow, huge, huge impact across the globe. It's brilliant to hear. And what about your role? Super important within this huge company.
So I'm the Global Head of Diversity and Inclusion. I am the first in role at FNZ, so that's quite a privilege for me. But the role covers more than diversity and inclusion, and it has grown in the year that I've been here. So it covers equity, because equality is as important as diversity and inclusion. I also have responsibility for well-being, belonging, our culture, and our FNZ way, which are our four values, which we codified and launched in September. So that's quite a big remit. The really positive thing, which is a relief for me, is they overlap and they interlock. So if we get all of those pieces right, then we're setting all our employees up for success.
Mm-hmm. It's super important that you use those words, overlap and interlock, because a lot of people find it so daunting on where to start when it comes to diversity, equality, equity and inclusion. And I really like how you've explained that really you begin that journey, and it does, it all interweaves and becomes one. So I think that's a brilliant way of describing it. Now, what about your first thoughts when you were arrived?
Yeah, so as I said, I celebrated my first anniversary last week with FNZ.
Oh, happy birthday.
So, yep, thank you. I was the first into this role, and I did expect a greenfield site, which was fantastic opportunity for me. And I would say to some extent that was the case, but there had been some really interesting foundational work done. So I was delighted to see that in 2021, we launched a global menopause policy, which,
brilliant,
again, I think is still quite unique everywhere. There was also some governance in place and quite senior level of governance on this work. So we have a diversity, inclusion and sustainability committee, and that is comprised of some of our board members and some of our investors, because we're privately owned, funded organisation. So again, the commitment to this work was really there. And then the other thing there with the governance, there were also some policies in place. So a recruitment D&I policy, a standard D&I policy, and a board D&I policy. So it wasn't a complete greenfield site. So that was really positive. But when I first arrived, I did a bit of a D&I health assessment. And what was delightful to see was, there had been some D&I surveys undertaken. We have some colleague data. And what I saw was an organisation really proud of its multicultural background. So we have currently, hot off the press, 88 nationalities working in FNZ. They speak over 44 different languages.
Fantastic.
They're based in 30 locations, and we don't have a global headquarters. So we have a very open global mobility policy, because without a global headquarters, the big roles are not in New York and London only. They're all over the world. And I think for opportunity for all, that's really important. So very multicultural organisation, and colleagues who are proud of their nationality and their heritage and their faith and their language. But what was also really positive is, bearing in mind technology and financial services, the two industries that we align with, they are two of the toughest places for women to be.
Absolutely.
Particularly at the senior levels. And what I was really delighted to see is that we are 44% female, and at the senior levels, we're 33% female.
Wow.
So that's good. I would just caveat that.
Ahead of your competitors?
Well, yes, and I've worked in both sets of industries for a long time. I would just caveat that by saying that isn't representative in every job family, every role, every part of the organisation. We all know there's challenges in different parts of technology, different parts of the business. But overall, 44% and 33% senior women.
It's great to hear the statistics, because just the underlying fact is that you measure this. You're looking into it. You know, the fact that you've spoken about a health assessment, you've got a menopause policy, you've got the board and investors involved. I think this is such key things that other people can take away and start to implement. Because a lot of the questions that I get asked are, what are people doing that work within their DEI committee? And I think the way you've explained it really shows the difference between diversity and inclusion, and what that actually means, and what the gap is between them. Yeah. The fact that you've used the word proud so many times is brilliant to hear. Brilliant to hear. So another thing that people will be really interested to hear is, how do you make an impact across the entire business?
I think, going back to your previous comment, if people get a little bit scared by the mountain of work. So I try to be very simple in my approach and not boil the ocean. I am just one individual. So the first thing I think about is, D&I is agnostic of business or location, and I really have to bring everyone along. But I have to work with different influencers in different ways. So I am hugely reliant on the support and collaborative nature of this organisation. But I work closely with the senior leadership team. So very early on in my time here, we established diversity goals, and each member of our leadership team is accountable for those, and it's part of their scorecards. I work really, really closely with my human resources colleagues. They're experts in their own fields, but we have to have diversity and inclusion interventions in every part of our people management processes, in our policies. So I have to have influence at that table, and FNZ is hugely collaborative, and that's borne out. Managers are key, and I always think managers are in really tricky positions in any organisation, because they have everything flowing down from the top and everything coming up from the people they manage. So, you know, we do interventions for managers in terms of awareness and education, and support them in the work they do. And then I suppose the really important group of people are all our colleagues, because they have passion for this work, they want to be involved, but they are doing it as, you know, part and parcel of, you know, very busy day jobs. I'm very mindful that we have to have goals, we have to be measured on this work, we have to have a strategy, and then it's communicate with those four groups of people in different ways. Maybe I'm very ruthless in bringing people into play when and how I need them, and no one's put a barrier up yet.
Well, I've got to say that it's super exciting to hear. Like, that really excites me to hear that you're ruthless with what you're doing, and that is all about how everyone is going to feel included. Tell us more about just the impact that has on the culture and environment. You've mentioned that things are very collaborative. I love the sound of the interventions and the fact that that's actually support that's available for people, because you can't assume that everyone's just going to get this right straight away.
I think culture and environment at FNZ, and you know, sometimes I wouldn't say it's a place for everyone to succeed, and I say that very carefully because I've worked in technology firms and financial services firms for my entire career, which spans 30 plus, if not more, years. All of the organisations I've worked for have been UK, US cultured organisations, and they can be pretty tough at times, and FNZ is no exception. And the way I describe these organisations and FNZ is the ethos of FNZ is to make the world a better place and open up wealth to everyone. But we expect hard work, we expect commitment, we expect people to give their very best. But in return, it's a place to learn, to innovate, to grow, to be challenged, and to be able to contribute and make a difference. But it is fast-paced, and that makes it exacting at times. And I always say it's not necessarily the place for everyone. But that's the same of any technology, financial services organisation that I've ever worked for. I think we're very clear, though, on who we are. And I think being clear on that attracts the people who say, yeah, this aligns to my values, my ambition, and what I want to do with my career.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for talking us through that. I know that you're incredibly optimistic about the entire marketplace and where we're going and how we can all get better and better with inclusion. What would you say you'd like to see more of?
Yeah, well, I think the work I do, and I've been doing this work for 20 odd years for diversity and inclusion, we're never at the end of the journey because there are always people who are underrepresented and we have to keep all those balls spinning. But my three areas I really want to focus on, particularly this year, is around socioeconomic diversity.
Great.
Because there's an alarming statistic that I quote all the time is that 9 out of 10 people who lead financial services organisations in the UK and in the City of London come from a high socioeconomic background. Yet everyone has money that they want to save for a rainy day, save for a mortgage, save for whatever is their life's ambitions. And you know, we're not truly representative at a senior level if we were only drawing talent from that high socioeconomic background. So I want to do more work around that. And part of that is encouraging colleagues to identify around their background in the UK. The second area is around neurodiversity. So we know a lot of people who identify as being neurodiverse have studied science, technology, engineering, mathematics type degrees, educational background, and they are the people who gravitate to technology and financial services. But are we accommodating them in the right way? Are we attracting them? Are we respecting their particular needs? And again, I think as an industry, we have work to do. And there's work I want to do in FNZ. And the third thing is around disability, because those with a disability who are working age are hugely unemployed or underemployed. You know, we're missing a chunk of talent that has a life experience that would be really useful in the types of products and things that we develop. So those three areas are things that I think the whole market need to embrace more of. And there's some wonderful work going on, you know, don't get me wrong, which I'm harvesting all the time. A lot of the time, I do spend a lot of time sort of reading and researching and thinking, oh, how can this apply to the work we're doing in FNZ?
Really like how you talk about a life experience that can be brought to product building and product ideation, because really that's what diversity and equity and inclusion is all about, you know. And 9 out of 10 in the city from high, it's really staggering.
At a senior level, I think overall the number of the whole of the working population is 6 out of 10 from a high SEB background. So that's alarming as well.
I'm glad you brought it to our attention, because this is something that, this is what this podcast is about, to get more and more people involved to start driving change in these areas. And it's now that time of the podcast to ask you, what would your call to action be to the audience listening right now? These are people who want to build better workplaces, and what would you like to say to them?
Yeah, I love this question. So the one thing I would say is don't wait for someone else to make the change you want. you know, you be the catalyst. I think it's always very easy to say, well, it's my manager's responsibility or it's the leaders of the firm. I think it's, you know, we can all make a change. It doesn't matter where you are in the organisation. I think what you need to do is to create, we talk about creating movements, and that's what makes a difference and how you build and innovate. So, you know, if you have a great idea, you know, talk to your manager, talk to your peers, find a mentor, find a sponsor, so that you can get that catalyst going to make that difference. And the one thing I would say is don't land your great idea on someone else to activate. I mean, it is about owning. And I was thinking about an example in FNZ for this, and that is what we call our Future Forum. And our Future Forum was devised by a group of colleagues who were looking at how we think about sustainability. So we have a product, FNZ Impact, which is our sustainability product, is part of our technology. But what can we do as individuals? So Future Forum encourages every colleague to volunteer at least one day a year. We have an app we use that we personally can check how green we are being in our everyday lives and how sustainable we are. And then they've put in place some real big recycling activities. So, you know, making sure all our redundant equipment, laptops, etc., are recycled and go to a second or third life, which is good. And that's all come from a very small group of colleagues.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, that's just an example, I thought, which
was great calls to action. I love how you said don't just hand it to somebody else to activate on your great idea.
Don't give it to the head of D&I.
Yeah, because everyone needs to be involved. And, you know, today's podcast has been really eye-opening and just a fascinating insight into your career and what change you've been able to drive and also inspire others to take those steps. So thank you so much for joining us today on the Talent of FinTech podcast.
Thank you, Nadia. It's a pleasure.